So tonight we will continue and we will be studying together once again. And what are we studying together? What we titled from last week, The Gospel That Jesus Proclaimed. So today will be the part two, The Gospel That Jesus Proclaimed. The part one is on all our social media platforms, especially the YouTube, for those of us joining us on YouTube tonight, or this just came up on your YouTube and you saw live and you clicked on it and you're here. We are Love Assembly Liverpool. We have a YouTube channel. If you click on it, you see all the live, you know, especially on the live feed, you'll see all the Bible study, the Sunday meetings we've had, and especially the part one that was shared just 1 week today ago. So you can always backtrack, listen to it, and anytime this message, even tonight, will be on the platform. And those on Facebook, also, it's all right on our Facebook page, Love Assembly Liverpool. Okay, so no further ado, but you want to participate, please feel free. You want to contribute, you want to make a declaration, because one thing about the good news is that good news needs to be shared. If it's news, that means it's got to be spread. It's got to be shared. Somebody needs to hear it. If it's bad news, you know, you can keep it to yourself. But if it's good, please share the good news. So the gospel that Jesus proclaimed, we began to look last week at this gospel. There were two people, or rather there's someone who preached this gospel of the kingdom. And we saw that in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. This person preached it before Jesus began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And this person we saw was a man called John the Baptist. John the Baptist. Like we recalled in verse 1, the Bible says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, the kingdom, said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was what he was preaching. The gospel, they said the Bible said was preaching in the wilderness. If we look at the Mark's account also, let's go to Mark and chapter 1. Mark and chapter 1. What do we see also there? We see from verse 1 of Mark chapter 1, an introduction that says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets. You know, let's go down to verse number 4. Let's look down to number 4. Verse number 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and, look at it, preaching a baptism of repentance. He was preaching for the remission of sins. Then the Bible tells us in that verse 5 that all the land, the people from Jerusalem, they went out. They were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. So we can see, like we saw from last week, that John preached the gospel of the kingdom. But then John was doing something. He was not just preaching, he was telling them something further. He was baptizing, that is, immersing people in that river Jordan, and telling them to repent. And the baptism, the Bible tells us here, he was preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. For the remission of sins. So we saw what John was preaching and what John was doing. He preached, he baptized. He told people, repent, the kingdom of heaven was near at that time. And listen, the kingdom of heaven is not just near. Right in this dispensation, you and I are, the kingdom of heaven is here and now. And last week we were able to see also that part of what John was trying to do was also to reveal the coming Messiah, which was Jesus the Christ, the anointed one that God sent to die for the remission of the sins, so that the sins of the entire human race can be forgiven. So he was baptizing, and he was baptizing, and people were coming, and people were asking, you're telling us to repent. What should we do? He said, don't just repent. We defined repentance last week. Is you having a change of mind. You changing the way you think. You not just being sorry for your sins, for the wrongdoings, for every act of disobedience, every act of wickedness, every evil action, every action that is not God-like. You know, whatever God doesn't like is sin. Okay, let's simplify sin. Anything that God, that is not right before God, all unrighteousness is sin, the Bible tells us. So John was telling them that they should repent, have a change of thinking, not just being sorry. You know, one of the things about repentance is we abhor the sin, the wrongdoings, the actions. And it's not just the actions, because the root cause of our actions is the way we think. So if you want your actions to change, don't just attempt to change the act, change the way you think. That is the real, true, genuine repentance. We saw last week, if you change the way you think, it will affect the way you talk. You will change the way you talk. And if you change the way you talk, you will change the way you act. So look at that. So the deep root, the deepest form of repentance is about really the thought. We take control. We change. We allow the good news of this kingdom to affect the way we think, change the way we think. We start thinking in line with this good news. And it will affect the way we talk, because the good news needs to be proclaimed. We declare it, and then we act it. We start living it. You know, we part of what we ended last week was to see when they came to, when people came to John, and they were asking him that, he was telling them that your repentance, show fruit. Let's see the fruit of your repentance. Don't just say, I've repented, I'm sorry, and I'm baptized. You go inside the river, it baptizes, you come out. No, the key is repent. The thinking's got to change. But then this is how we know your thinking has changed. We see the fruit. And he was telling them in the book of Luke, if we look at from Luke chapter 3, let's look at Luke chapter 3. And from verse 7 to 14. So we're doing a little bit of a recap so that we understand, and then we will see Jesus himself, the gospel he proclaimed, how he proclaimed this gospel, what this gospel means. Okay, Luke chapter 3 from verse number 7. This is what John said to them in Luke chapter 3 from verse 7. He began to tell them that you, if the media team can help us look for that, okay? Let me give us some time. And please, as you're participating, you can comment on Facebook. You can comment on YouTube, whichever one you're joining us from tonight. We'd like to know where you're joining us from, number one. We welcome you. And then anonymously, I forgot to announce this at the start, and thank you for those who contributed last week. You can anonymously also participate by going on the app, search engine sli.do, type in sli.do. You will see hashtag, just type in capital J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. Capital J-E-S-U-S, Jesus. So if you go there, you can type there that I am ready to be a bearer of good news. That way we will know that you are there. I am ready. Or you know what? Don't even say I'm ready. Just say I am a bearer or a carrier of good news. Of good news. So that's one way you can participate. All right, let's go to Luke chapter 3. How do we know someone has genuinely repented? It's got to reflect in their actions. But then the root of the act is the thought. If you change the thought, we change the talk, we will change the act. So this is John telling them that you, right, when the multitudes came up to him, He said, "You brood of vipers." I'm telling you that John was not very politically correct in his time. You know, John wasn't trying to make friends. He was declaring the word of God, and he was very brutally honest with people. You know, in today, if you call someone and you look at a group of people and you say, you brood of vipers, you know, in this cancel culture, I'm telling you, the whole of social media will be set on fire and people will come after you. But excuse me, John wasn't looking for likes. John wasn't looking for followers. John wasn't trying to trend and go viral. In fact, the Bible said his fame spread. People came because the power of God was upon John the Baptizer. He said, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then he now says, therefore, in verse 8, "You bear fruits that is worthy of repentance." You know, one version says this about that same verse 8. Let me see how this version, I think this is the English Standard Version. It says, "Bear fruits in keeping with repentance." Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. The New English Translation says, "Therefore produce fruit that proves your repentance." Produce fruit, right? That proves your repentance. And don't begin to say to yourself, "We have Abraham as our father." You know, Abraham is our father. That's not the issue. He says, "For I say to you, Abraham, that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And even now," verse 9, "the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire." So it's not just to say, "I am sorry. Yes, I've done this, I confess." No, we've got to see the fruit. But what produces the fruit is the seed. And what is the seed? The word that changes our thinking. The word of this kingdom that changes our thinking. We change our thinking, we change the way we think. We have a change of mind, we're sorry, we abhor, we hate what we've done. But then it doesn't stop there. We change, have a complete change of mind, and we start declaring, because the Bible talks about confession. Whosoever shall confess Jesus is Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. So we confess, we declare, we proclaim what we believe, what we have received, what we now want to start thinking, the lines along, we've changed our mind and we declare we have. And then our actions begins to show. So they were asking him from verse 10 of that Luke chapter 3, "What should we do then?" And listen to these instructions, because these instructions, I believe by the Spirit of God, will be beyond just what you are reading now. These instructions will directly be a message to someone. It will be so clear to you. Right? So clear. There's one thing about the power of this gospel, the power of this good news. It says it's the power of God unto salvation. When you hear the word of God, like we know and we saw also last week, this gospel is the word of God that is being preached to us. When we hear the word of God, it gives us instructions. So clearly listen to this. What shall we do? One of these instructions might pertain to you. It will be clear to you. The Holy Spirit will make it clear. And I pray at this time, Lord, upon the hearts and minds of everyone right now, let your word be simple. Let your word be clear. Let our hearts and every heart become a good ground. Let there be an entrance of your word now. Let there be illumination, enlightenment. Let darkness, confusion be removed from every heart. Let clear instructions be received now. And let people hear what you are saying, the voice of your word. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let your word prosper in every heart. Let your word never return to you void. Let your word accomplish that which you begin to please. As we hear right now, Lord, we receive, and I pray double grace upon everyone to do, to be empowered to do what you're saying right now in the name of Jesus. Listen, what shall we do when we hear this gospel? Because John was preaching, baptizing, and telling them there's got to be fruit. There's got to be fruit. What shall we do? The people asked. Let's go on. He says, listen, anyone who has two tunics, what should he do? Share it. Give it to the one who has none. And anyone who has food, do likewise. That's the first instruction. Is there something you have? Two, in excess. You know, one of the things that the time of, you know, the global lockdown, if you witness that global lockdown and you are still alive today, listen, you are a living miracle. You have witnessed something that some people have never seen in their lifetime in centuries past. Global, that's the global pandemic when the whole world was shut down. You know what? How soon we forget the lessons we learned then? How soon we forget some people crying out, being sorry for their sins, being scared, being afraid, asking God for mercy, you know? And there were lots of so-called repentance then, but repentance that were just skin deep. Why? Because some of us have gone back to our old ways. We've forgotten. Businesses were shut. Some businesses have never recovered since then. You know, the other day I was passing, you know, around, you know, with my family, we're driving on the streets of Liverpool here where we reside. And we looked at the park, a certain place. And I was telling my family that I remember during the lockdown, this place was completely shut down. It was as if this would not happen again, that this place would not, people would never, ever go in there again to be wasting their lives, you know. Lo and behold, you know what? Back to square one. The place is bubbling again. People are there doing all sorts of things, gambling, you know, drinking, partying, like the days of Noah, like Jesus said. He said, so will be the days that the Son of Man will return. Listen, that was just a dress rehearsal, that global pandemic shut down. But then what are the lessons? Most people, especially the so-called rich, did you realize how much giveaway people were doing? Why? They just realized they were amassing wealth and some people were hungry. Some people didn't have food. Can you remember how toilet roll was so scarce? How people were stockpiling? How people were panicking? And sadly, how people were dying. See how people were crying out for help? How prayer meetings were jammed online, where people were just seeking, going online. Statistics showed that people were joining, looking, asking, seeking for God, for salvation, for the way out more than ever during that year of the COVID-19. 2020, the year 2020, especially from March upwards up to the better part of 2021. What happened, people? We've all gone back. Did you realize then that you just suddenly realize you don't need as many clothes as you have? You suddenly realize as many clothes as shoes that you're just stockpiling, they were all useless because there was nowhere to go. There was, you know, and, you know, this and aside. Some people didn't even remember to take their bath because you were all locked down in your houses. You know, you've been in your nightgown or in your pyjamas, that's all, you know? And everybody saw that it doesn't take much to actually leave. People became content with what they had, and people were given. Repentance, change the way you think. Now people are chasing, you know, acquiring wealth again, acquiring all sorts of things, and will almost even kill to get things. Some people are worried now, you know, about this, about that. Listen, everything went under lockdown. We saw humanity. So all of a sudden, everybody realized that my next door neighbor is my brother, is my sister, and I've got to look out for everybody. Now, post-COVID, post-global lockdown, where have we found ourselves? The thinking has not changed. That's just a sign we've not repented. What shall we do? They were asking. He says, you have two tunics, give one to somebody who doesn't have. You don't have food, you have food, give. You have excess food. You know, I see the way food, people even waste food now, just throw food away. The other day I was in a school and these children would just go by, you know, they just fling everything to the dustbin. During the global lockdown, people did not waste food. People knew the value of food. People shared food. People were giving out. The rich, so-called rich, were looking for giveaways. That's when that word palliative took another dimension. Everybody came back, came together. That community, this place, that old person, that poor person. Now, do you know one of the things Jesus, we will see it in Luke chapter 4, he said the poor have the gospel preached to them. This is the gospel of the kingdom we're talking about. Are we still preaching this kingdom? Or you think it's just by telling somebody, God bless you, God loves you? James said it, faith that is not accompanied with works, evidence, is dead. It's not like we don't have faith, but we have a dead faith if you are not doing the gospel. You see, one of the things between the difference, not much, but between Jesus, who picked up this gauntlet of this gospel that John was preaching, we will see, the difference between John and Jesus was that John preached, he preached the baptism, he baptized people unto repentance, but Jesus demonstrated this gospel. He demonstrated it. The Bible said, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, he went about doing good, healing all those who are oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What are you doing? You have clothes, you can give, you have food, and you're just stockpiling, wasting, it passes the expiry dates, and you throw it in the bin. Meanwhile, there's someone right there on your street that needs this thing. There are, you know, don't get us wrong. People look at charity and that's it. They do charity and they think that's it. No, the real charity is giving what you have to someone who is in need and telling them, not just telling them God loves them, but demonstrating the love of God. And then you can tell them God loves them. They will listen to you. They will listen. But you know, I'm not talking of the charity that everybody just does. Oh yeah, we just give, give, give. In what name, in whose name are you giving? What shall we do? They ask. Anyone who has two clothes, give. You have food, give. And then verse 12, tax collectors. These are people who, you know, they were hated in that time. But then, what was the purpose of them collecting tax? The tax they collected from people was meant to be used for the common good, the commonwealth of everyone, you know? He said, the tax collectors came to be baptized. Teacher, what shall we do? What was the answer he gave them? Collect no more than is appointed for you. In other words, don't embezzle funds, right? Collect not more than what is appointed for you. Don't take more than what you are authorized to do. One version puts it that way. Do not, right? Collect no more than you are required to. Don't overtax people. Don't overburden people. You know, like I said, this message will come across to you in the way which it applies to you. You may not literally be a tax collector, but you are in some kind of a position, but you are making life difficult, overburdening people unnecessarily. Let's go again. Then the soldiers came to him in verse 14. They said, what shall we do? He said, don't intimidate anyone. Don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your wages. That is deep. You know, the New English Translation puts it this way. He says, don't take money from people. Take money from no one by violence or by false accusation, right? Violence, false accusation. This is from things like that. That is the fruit of repentance. And it says, be content with your pay. Be content with your wages. You know, like we said, the global lockdown let mankind see that the basic things of life, contentment was defined, demonstrated. You can't wear more than this. You can't eat more than this. You can't, are you getting me? You know, everything, wealth acquired, all these things were pointless. The purpose of God prospering, when we look at the from the Old Testament, the purpose of prosperity is for this good news to be preached. If God prospers you, it's for the purpose of the good news, the gospel, to be preached. And you can preach this gospel practically. Paul captured it. He says, our teaching, preaching, was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. It's not about oratory. Some of us are not good orators. But you know what? You're a good giver. Your giving speaks more than, you know, the best people who can use metaphors, the kings of the metaphors of this world, the grand kings of the metaphors. Just joking. Somebody in the studio with me understands what I'm saying. Are you getting me? It's not a, you can use metaphor, you can use simile, you can put words together, right? That doesn't change anybody's life until you give them something that impacts them. That's what we're talking about. Don't intimidate, don't accuse falsely, be content with your wages. Godliness and contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. So fruit accompanies repentance. So, you know, let's now look closely at Jesus. Let's look closely at Jesus. Thank you for keeping the comments coming. Someone is declaring that I am a bearer of the good news of God. That's it. Declare it. Think it. Declare it. And constantly be a carrier of that good news. Let your entire being, let your body be a carriage. Anywhere you go, let good be seen. Let signs of good follow you. Let good that you proclaim be seen. Let your good works, Jesus said, let it be seen amongst human beings, among all people. That way you're bringing glory to God. So thank you very much. Let's see, are there people, anyone, you know, feel free to send in your comments. Go on the hashtag. Thank you. May we all experience genuine repentance in Jesus' name. Yes, I say a big amen to that. Every one of us needs to have that genuine repentance. And thank you for declaring by his grace. We are all genuine bearers and genuine doers of the gospel. Thank you. Doer. That's it. Doer. Don't just proclaim, do. John proclaimed, John baptized, Jesus demonstrated with power, with signs, wonders. Thank you. Yeah. You know, thank you. Thank you, Uncle Daddy. He knows what I'm saying. Ezekiel Uriam. Even our children make us happy when they say good things. You know, so thank you, Uncle Daddy, doing the gospel. Give and add value to somebody in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for that contribution, Ezekiel Uriam. Right. So Jesus, the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. Right. So come with us again. Let's look closely at Jesus now. Let's look closely at Jesus. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. Let us see Jesus now. Let's take a closer look at Jesus. What did Jesus preach? The Bible tells us, verse 17 of Matthew chapter 4. From that time, Jesus began to preach. Listen. And to say, look at the first word, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The first prerequisite for us, like we learned, if you joined us on the last Sunday service, for us to enjoy or experience the kingdom of God, we need to repent first. So Jesus said it, repent. Okay, let's look closely again at Jesus. What else did Jesus do? Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Mark chapter 1, verse 14. This is getting interesting, people. Right? 14 to 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 to 15. Let's see the gospel Jesus proclaimed, how Jesus proclaimed it. Now, the Bible says, after John was put in prison, I want us to pause there. Just pause first. Who was preaching first? It was John. Remember, John preached baptism of repentance, baptized people, told them what to do to bring fruit. And then the purpose of the baptism of Jesus was, John was also to reveal who the Messiah was, because he said that the God that told him to baptize told him that, look out. The one that the Spirit will come upon is the one who is the Messiah that you are meant to declare and proclaim and reveal to the whole world. So John now was put in prison. And, you know, like we said, John was just raw. John wasn't looking for likes on Facebook or social media. He didn't care whether it went viral or he had friends or followers. You know, he said it raw. He was put in prison. If you look at the historical account we see captured in the four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, John was thrown inside prison because he told the then Herod that he was living in adultery. But then, how did Jesus react to this? What was Jesus' response after John was put in prison? The Bible said Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Verse 15, and saying, the kingdom, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Look at it again. Repent. He now brought a dimension and believe in this good news. So don't only change the way you think. Don't just be sorry and abhor and hate what you've done. But you know what? This is which will help you. First of all, repent and then believe. You see, some people don't follow that order. We want to believe without first repenting. You know, and the belief without repentance is usually just skin deep. It's not deep. Just like, you know, Jesus further told the parable of the sower about the different seeds that one on the, you know, that fell on the wayside, one among thorns, one on the rock, and then the one on the good ground, you know. And it was breaking this down that all of them here, when you look at it, when it was breaking them down, he said, but those who hear, but this word did not have much root inside them. They fall away when temptations, when things come, when distractions of life come. You know, that's what happens when we don't repent, when our thinking has not changed and we attempt to believe. You will believe only for a little while. So, if you want to genuinely believe, it starts first with repentance. And this gospel is good news. You know, last week we highlighted natural default of us as human beings. For example, something bad happens or you hear bad news that is not good at all. Our natural reaction is to cry. If we don't cry, we lament. We want everybody to know this is what happened and we spread it. It's happened. Have you noticed, you know, just like my brother Apostle Cruz taught us, you know, 2 weeks ago, bad news tend to spread so quick, so fast than anything at all. It spreads so fast. But do you know how bad news spread? Simple. Someone hears it and they're quick to tell somebody else, and somebody is quick to want to put it out there on social media. You know, it's always It's like people, we are competing as human beings to see who will be the first person to share the bad news. Who received the bad? Somebody died. You want to be the first. Breaking news, right? Go and check all the breaking news, right? Most of the breaking news actually is meant to break us. It's not really, really it's not there to make us, but to break. Sad stories. But the same medium that carries bad news, if we can make up our minds and repent that today, from today, that same media, I will use it for good news. When I hear anything good, I hear what God is doing, in my life, I will spread it. I will throw that news out there. I will be the first carrier, bearer of good news. Right? That is where we need to repent. So we hear good news, spread it. We hear bad news, we lament, we cry, and we worry. But good news says, even when we're in trouble, I was encouraging a dear brother today. You know, I was saying, look, let me tell you, because you are a child of God, whatever has happened to you, that news you received this week, the person received some, you know, interesting news. I said, the good news of the kingdom says that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. You are a child of God. That bad news you have received, and I'm telling somebody by the Spirit of God now, that bad news you received is only working together for your good. It will turn around for your good. It is working together. You see, that bad news and the bearers of the good news, they are all under God's payroll. Even the devil, right? The Bible says the princes of this world have known they will not have crucified the King of Glory. Even the devil is under God's payroll in that context. He's working together to make everything good for you. Even though the news now seems bad, that delay is working together for your good. That bad report you received today is working together for your good. That diagnosis you received today is working together for your good. All things he makes them work together for the good of those who love God. The key, keep loving God. Keep loving God. You are called according to his purpose. The thoughts he has for you, I bring you this good news. The thoughts and plans of God for you are never evil. That evil report you receive today is working together for your good. He makes all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Are you getting me? The thoughts, the plans of God are never evil, but it's to give you a future, to bring you to a hope and an expected end. His own expected end, his plan, his future for you. So I celebrate with you. You are in trouble right now. You got some troubling news before this broadcast. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Again, I declare to you, rejoice. Because it is all working together for your good. Repent. Start thinking this along this line. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Ezekielium. All things for working together for my good. I work and I work in love. Yes, believe the gospel. What did Jesus preach? Let's begin to round up right now. What did Jesus preach? Look at the gospel Jesus preached. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Come on. I just love this good news. I love it. Bring it on. You know? This is not boasting, and if it sounds like I'm boasting, I make my boast in the Lord. When I began to understand that God is my refuge and my fortress, a very present help in time of trouble, I was looking for trouble. I was waiting for the next trouble that will come to me. Why? Because I know God will deliver me from the trouble, and not only deliver me according to Psalm 91, he will honor me. Even in trouble, a very present help in time of trouble. So while you are, don't lament about your trouble. Don't worry about your trouble. Yes, you're crying about the trouble, natural human feelings flowing. But I've got news for you. Weeping endures only for a night. Joy comes in the morning. Let me tell you, since the day you were born, have you ever seen any night that morning did not follow? Have you ever, since the day you were born, have you ever seen any dark period in the night and the morning light, daylight refused to appear? That is the same way your joy is coming. That is the same way God is making that trouble work together for your good. It's only announcing that your morning is coming. Joy is here. Joy is here. You are in that darkest part of the nighttime. Listen, it's only announcing the brightness of the morning light. Arise and shine. Your light has come, child of God. The glory of God is risen upon you. That is the good news. Darkness may cover the earth. Gross darkness covers the earth. Listen, but in the midst of that darkness, the darkness is only announcing your light, because you need darkness for light to shine. Have you ever thought about that? If it's not dark, light cannot shine. If it's not dark, we can't see the intensity of light. We can't see the value of light. So rejoice, child of God. Rejoice. And if you're not a child of God today, I've got good news for you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just say, Lord, save me. I come to you tonight and I cry to you, my Savior. Whosoever shall confess Jesus as Lord, you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. That is the good news. Now, let's round up with what happened in Matthew chapter 4. We'll continue from here next week. Matthew chapter 4 from verse 23. Look at Jesus demonstrating what happened. The Bible said in verse 23, Jesus went about all Galilee. I love this. Woo, I almost burst in tongues right now. A new tongue is just, any time I see this, I am excited. What was he doing? He went about all Galilee. Number one, teaching. Just like you've heard tonight, a little bit of teaching. Teaching in their synagogues. Number two, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Do you know what that means? He was proclaiming. He was declaring. Good news is here. Good news. I am announcing to you that good news is here. That's what Jesus was doing there. That is what preaching is all about. Now, he taught. He announced. Now, look at the next thing. Number three, healing all. Oh, I love that. Healing, not some. He was healing all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of diseases among the people. This is Jesus demonstrating. And he said, you and I should go likewise and do the same. Right now, you've heard teaching tonight. Right now, you've heard preaching tonight. And I declare healing in the name of Jesus. I say your sins are forgiven. I declare to you from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, I rebuke every sickness. I rebuke everything my Heavenly Father has not planted in your body. Headache, migraine, from the very root. I curse you like Jesus cursed the fig tree, weed or die. Any growth that should not be in your body, in any part of your body, I declare healing. I've not only taught or preached, I am declaring to you, you are healed because your sins are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven. All your sins are forgiven and all your diseases healed in the name of Jesus. I command every sickness and every disease tonight, right now, whatever time it is, not just in the nighttime, in the daytime, healed in the name of Jesus. Verse 24, and we close. You hold on to this. The Bible says his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who are afflicted with various diseases, torments, and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, those who were paralyzed, epileptics, paralytics. Look at this. And he healed them all. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Anointed One, Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit tonight, I declare anyone watching this tonight, check yourself, you are healed from this hour. Your body begin to amend from this moment. As you repent, as your thinking begins to align to what you've heard tonight, that every sickness, every disease is healed by the power of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. As your thinking begins to align with that, I declare you are free. I declare you are healed. I declare that your body, from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet, is cleansed from all unrighteousness, purged from every sin, and by the blood of Jesus shed, you were healed, you are healed, you are going to manifest and see and experience complete wholeness in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Repent and believe, and you will see the salvation of the Lord. God bless you tonight. Join us on Sunday, where we will continue and declare this gospel and demonstration more. We want to hear from you. Share your testimonial. You've got to declare what God has done. Even declare it before you experience it, because the declaration is accompanied with confirmation. They went about, spoke the word, and the Lord confirming the word that was proclaimed with signs following. In the name of Jesus, signs of healing, miracles, wonders begin to follow you now. In Jesus' name. God bless you. I hand over to the media team.